I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't stand hobbles and I can't stand fences.
Don't fence me in. Don't fence me in.
And welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Well, chaps, what a long week it's been in football for Owner FC.
He says that every week.
You say that every week.
I don't think I've said exactly that every week. I don't think I've ever said that ever before, but a week is a long time, isn't it? I mean, like, when we were talking about last week, we were looking at the thing, oh dear, is this wise? Should people be putting their money into it? And Terry, it was a busy few days for the entrepreneurs, wasn't
it? The entrepreneur in charge of Owner FC, his previous inability to run companies was exposed. And the vote that was supposed to happen about Hednesford Town FC, I don't think actually happened.
The manager said he'd walk out, didn't he?
Yeah. And then the company appears to have either gone bust or is on the verge of going bust.
Yes.
They took down hastily their terms and conditions and terms of use, told everyone that there'll be no refunds, but now they seem to have rallied a bit and they seem to be back. That's the latest. But, I mean, it very much looked like this is a company that's on its uppers and in all likelihood was probably never really a going concern anyway. It is worth bearing in mind that people have paid £49 on which they're unlikely to see that back.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Questions, I think, to be asked of Owner FC if anyone can track them down.
Yes, if you do see a guy from Warrington struggling with a suitcase with pound notes sticking out the edge of it, then you may want to take a picture of him and contact your local police.
Yeah, I think he's from Wigan, rather than Warrington. but also, if he's whistling the theme to Monorail from the Simpsons episode.
They probably found his notes, didn't they, with a little stick drawing of him with holding a couple of money bags with me and an arrow pointing to him.
Swag written on it.
Actual stadium may not match photo.
All's well that ends well there, then.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Again, unless you parted with £49. Some might argue that if you're foolish enough to get involved in such a caper, you deserve to lose your money, but I wouldn't be one.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, it's an expensive lesson, but it's a lesson.
It is a lesson, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't look at me like that. I didn't care.
Are you sure?
Are you sure? This looks like the kind of thing you could have got involved in.
It's the type of thing that being a young entrepreneur, it's the type of thing I would probably do.
I was so impressed by his can-do attitude.
Yeah.
You're hired. But hey, all of that seems to be a long way away now because this weekend, just everything went nuts, didn't it? Within the space of about 30 hours, a guy got from his seat at a local derby, ran down, hopped over the fence, ran onto the pitch, and punched a player from behind.
Mm.
And within 30 hours, he's in Chokey now, serving 3 months.
Yeah.
The wheels of justice turn pretty quickly when public opinion is at work there, isn't there? When you've got
It also helps when you've got a load of policemen actually seeing the incident happen, along with 40,000 other...
Literally tens of thousands of witnesses.
And national television.
And national television.
And slow motion replays.
And it's all over the internet.
Yes.
And he copped an early plea as well.
Yes, he did.
Which is...
Well, what else are you going to do?
Well, I mean, if you want... You know, nothing else unless you want to avoid a longer term in Chokey, because, I mean...
Yeah.
What is it, 14 weeks?
Yeah. 14 weeks,
which is probably... He'd probably see that as being a bit of a result, given that if he kicked up any fuss about it, then it could have been longer, I reckon.
Apparently first offence, so actually sent down for anyway.
Yeah, but been caught for.
Caught for, yes. Yeah. So
not that I'm saying he's necessarily a wrong'un.
A wrong'un? No, I'm not.
Well, no,
but he's definitely a wrong'un.
Well, I mean, he is a wrong
employee. Obviously so.
I mean, yeah. He's been arrested for assault and put in prison. Yeah, so yeah. He's clearly a wrong.
Yeah, he's clearly wrong. Yeah.
I was actually watching the game. No pressure if you weren't actually watching the game, but did you see the incident at all?
I only saw it afterwards on Sky Sports News.
I didn't actually see the incident live because the game was on and I was looking at my phone.
Naturally. Because that's what you do when you watch football, is you don't actually watch the football. You watch Twitter.
Well, you don't watch when there's a corner happening. You just go, right, okay, well, let's go and have a look at some Twitter. And everyone's going nuts. What the hell's happening? luckily with Sky Plus, easily distracted people like me can find out what actually happened. And of course, thanks to the said Twitter, everyone else can find out what happened. Ooh. I mean, how long was it before you started seeing the videos on social media almost, getting the buzz as what had happened?
Almost instantly. I was enjoying a rather agreeable Sunday lunch with my family.
Yeah.
And then my phone buzzed. And I thought, well, since I'm at a table, I can clearly just pull out the phone and have a look at it, which is what I did, much to everyone's horror. And then I saw, the horror on my tiny screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. He caught him quite well, actually, I have to say, considering he was a moving target and he himself was also moving.
He did make a good line for him.
He did.
So he was going in the same direction of travel.
Yeah.
He is swinging quite a way before he actually gets to him.
There's pressure on the line, though, isn't there?
Makes a good connection, I think. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, you know,
it's more of a forearm smash, I thought, than an actual punch. It's
very difficult to actually try to get to hit the front of your face from behind when you can't see it. I mean, like, he should have gone for a rabbit punch, if anything. Yeah, maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, that is really the coward's choice.
Kicked his legs away. Possibly. I mean, there's a multitude. But he was in the moment.
He only had one hit, though.
He did have only one hit. And the pressure of all the authorities.
Yeah. I mean, it's his first time in a public arena.
Yeah.
Maybe we can forgive the fact that he didn't really get a good swing. But, Terry, what was your analysis of the
I mean, I thought, you know, it was a fair stab. You know, in fairness, although obviously he wasn't a stab because, you know...
Well, he's obviously not a professional at this.
No, he's clearly not a professional at this. And I believe him when he says it's his first time because he certainly swung, like it was his first time. But, I mean, you know, if he ever gets the opportunity to do something again, I'm sure he'll, do a much better job of it.
Maybe not. Maybe he's just a complete knob who can't fight to save his life.
Yeah, that could well be it. He's just a complete knob. He doesn't know how to fight.
Hey, but he's got a good 14 weeks to learn, hasn't he?
He certainly does.
I think he's going to get a lot of practice.
Yeah, he'll be doing a lot
of... Those Villa fans are everywhere.
He's going to be in the Villa wing, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't imagine that they'll be offering him any kind of protection or solitary or anything like that. He won't be in an open prison. He's going to proper prison.
Yes.
With proper prisoners.
Yes. Well, that's what happens when you go for a violent crime,
which is what it is. They put you in proper prison.
So, Terry, what do you think? Are we all being a bit shrieky and pearl clutchy here, or is this right?
No, it was absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
It was absolutely outrageous. And, the guy is a complete knob.
Yes, that much is true. But many people are knobs, and many people don't get sent down, do they?
No, but...
Football is full of knobs.
Yeah, I mean, society is just full of... knobs.
Yes.
And when you behave to that extent, then you absolutely deserve everything that's coming to you. And he probably deserves considerably more. I just think he was probably very well advised.
Yeah.
Probably he got a good defence lawyer in to say, right, you're bang to rights here, so you cop an early plea, you don't waste any of the court's time, and they will be lenient. But the moment you kick up any fuss or anything like that, then they will come down on you like a ton of bricks and you could be looking at, maybe 12 months or something like that.
Yeah.
He's played the system and he's managed to get away with it, but it's an absolute disgrace. I mean, we can have a bit of a laugh about it if we like, but, I mean, there's absolutely no way that anything like that can possibly be encouraged. And the fact that it's happened is a very, very dark matter for all of us, all of football. Steps must be taken to ensure that it doesn't happen in the future.
Okay, then, so what steps must be taken then, What's your initial reaction when you hear, what could we do? How can we stop this? How can we stop this incident from happening again? Because he could have had a knife, as lots of people have said.
He could have, but he didn't.
Yes.
And it's probably unlikely that even... I mean, you're not going to get past security if you've got any kind of weapon. I mean, it's possible, but it's unlikely. But what should we do? Probably tighten up the security a bit more around the perimeter of the pitch. I don't think... I mean, I've heard people saying, should we bring back fences? And things. I just, I found myself shouting at the radio yesterday when I heard that, which is just crazy. I mean, that's a real knee-jerk reaction to that.
We're old enough to remember fences.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've stood behind them.
Yeah.
But there are lots of people out there now, people in their 30s, who will not remember fences at English football grounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what we've been like when we've gone to Germany and they're still there.
Yeah. I was at a football match last weekend, the weekend before last, with fences.
And it absolutely turns your stomach when you see them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know the whole implication of what happened and why they were taken away over here.
Yeah. Hmm.
I imagine that there's plenty of people in their 30s who hate Liverpool, who probably blame Hillsborough on the Liverpool fans and probably feel under that basis that the fences should come back, which is just a whole whirlpool of toxic shit, basically.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't be, but I can well believe that.
So yeah. I think you'll probably find the people who are saying you should put the fences back up are actually saying what you should do is cage football fans, and that they're not fans of football at all, or certainly not fans of the type of people who go and watch football. So that is just, you know, really, that's a real shortcut to thinking, I think, and lazy commentary, I think. Got to put it in a context. Okay, there was a flurry of incidents across the UK this weekend. One that was the worst of them, and it was horrible. You know, I don't think any more needs to be said about that. But it's one or two incidents, one of which was really distasteful. Do we need to completely re-engineer the way that we cater for football supporters and how they watch football? Well, probably not.
Yeah.
You don't have to re-engineer it. You just have to tweak a few things. They probably should have had a few extra stewards on there. If the stewards and the police are doing their job properly, they should be keeping an eye on the people that are in the crowd and seeing if anyone's getting a little bit excitable and single them out. That's kind of what they usually do. You've been to football matches where you've seen that happen. I think anything other than that is a massive overreaction. But then again, massive overreactions is what we do pretty well in this country.
This is very, very true. And a separate incident in the same game, which I think why stewarding must be looked at Birmingham, was one of the Birmingham stewards was actually collared by the Rozzers there and dragged off.
It's because he was trying to push Jack Grealish over the advertising line after he scored the goal.
Yeah. And he got hoiked by the police and said, nope, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
The policeman, obviously a Villa fan, so obviously decided to step in when the stewarding got a bit heavy-handed with the players there.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. Well, I know stewarding is not the easy job. If they get paid at all, it's tuppence halfpenny. And, of course, they're as easy to get caught up in the atmosphere as much as anyone.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely.
They're not trained like the police are for ugly incidents. They are basically there as a presence to wear high vis and to direct people to fire escapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. They're not really there to stop people punching people.
I mean, there is an element of crowd control about the work that they do, but you're right, they don't get anything like the kind of training that they need. And so the issue is systemic rather than necessarily down to particular individuals. I wouldn't certainly blame any individual stewards for that incident. But I mean, I think you probably have to look at the quality of the stewards, and probably then Birmingham have to either have a conversation with themselves about what companies that they use and whether or not they probably need to be spending a bit more money on stewarding and bringing in, you know, better trained stewards or training their stewards better.
Yeah.
I mean, I said earlier, you know, something has to be done to stop it. And of course, you know, it shouldn't be allowed to happen again. But the reality of the situation is that it could easily happen again because, you know, there's tens of thousands of people in these things. And unless you have one steward on one, you know, which is, of course, absurd. It's always going to be extremely difficult to do that. Now, you can make adjustments to the layout of the stadium, I suppose. You can, you know, you'd have to knock down probably a couple of rows of seats, but you could probably do what they do at Wembley, and they sort of like have flat fences, don't they, which make it extremely hard for anyone to invade the pitch because they have to climb over there. But, you know, I mean, we have to also have to remind ourselves that the overwhelming majority of people who turn up at football matches aren't looking for any kind of trouble, and understand the code. You know, the unwritten code is that, you know, the fences were taken down after Hillsborough. And, you know, as a consequence, you know, you don't launch pitch invasions unless it's for super happy reasons, like you've just won the league and then people tend to be okay with stuff like that.
Do we have to bear in mind as well, though, that this isn't a movement, this isn't a craze? These are isolated incidents. Yeah. They are individual incidents. They can happen in spates. Whenever something happens, it's very easy to say, oh, well, it's been building up to this. it's been building up to this for a long time because of X of Y or whatever reasons you want to give, whatever you want to correlate to whatever situation that has happened.
I mean, you've got arguments on the left of politics and on the right of politics. And on the right of politics, we're already going back to those hackneyed 80s arguments about fences, about armed police, about, you know, doing the kind of things that people back in the 80s, the Tory MPs basically said that should be happening to football fans back in the 1980s. Now, ID cards, I'm sure, will probably come up next as well.
Yeah.
These are ancient tropes that are being dug up. But interestingly, on the left, you're also hearing the criticisms of the sense of entitlement of the modern Briton, the fact that they feel as if they can get away with this.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Wilson wrote a very passionate and a really very readable article about the age of austerity in which we live in, and that people are, you know, angry and unhappy, and hate crime is as high as it's probably ever been, you know, over the last 5 years, and that our country is changing and people are a lot angrier now.
Mm.
And he's pointing to, you know, the usual things that people on the left point to, and that's Brexit and Tory austerity as kind of underlying causes there. And I've got a lot of sympathy for that because it matches my political views. I don't know whether or not it really applies to this 27-year-old oaf who made this decision to do that. I thought Marcelo Bielsa suggested something that I think is worth echoing, is he's suggesting that this young man has deeper lying issues unrelated to football. Mm. He said, usually people who are happy with their lives are unlikely to behave in such a way. And I think he's absolutely right to point that out. I'm not suggesting we feel sorry for him and give him a cuddle. I suggest that we put him in prison with all the other violent criminals and he can see what it is to hang out with truly violent and unhappy people.
Yes.
Yeah, but if he's not...
And if he's lucky, he might get some of his life back.
No matter which way you look at it, he's acting criminally. But whether the what drove that was a criminal desire, or, you know, if he's got other issues that he needs help with, rather than just incarceration, and that could be something else.
Yeah, but prison is full of people who didn't really mean to,
exactly,
to break the law.
Yeah. Yeah,
so they were just doing something that they thought they could get away with and wouldn't hurt anyone.
Yeah, what I was trying to say is that if you've got people that are behaving like this, not necessarily this individual, but, you know, if they've got a mental illness and that's what's causing this behaviour, then that's something that should be looked at a little bit differently.
But I think the thing is you can apply that rule, that axiom, to everybody on the planet. We don't sink. We don't apply it just to that person. There are plenty of people in prison, as Graham said, who probably actually should be in some kind of medical care, but the judicial system has just completely passed them by, whether it because of the colour of their skin or their income bracket or the nature of their crime, whatever it will be. So, I mean, I'm not for a moment suggesting that we should feel sorry for this guy.
We shouldn't. What do we think about the reporting of the incident, though? Do we think that it is basically pointing at a fan problem, or are we looking? Is it looking as a society problem?
I think it depends on what papers you read and which journalists you read.
Yeah,
I think some of them are like saying this is football's problem, and then there'll be others.
So much of what you were saying about right and left wing,
and they tend to fall down your ideological grounds. Yeah, right wingers will blame. Traditionally, right wingers like to blame individuals rather than systems, and left-wingers, it's the other way around. Yeah.
But also in the tabloid press, you had this mad rush to name the individual that was going on yesterday.
Well, I mean, I can understand that. I mean, I must confess I was outraged when I saw it, and I thought, I hope that guy gets his name plastered all over everywhere, and he's in bad. I mean, you get this febrile desire almost to go all the way back to the medieval times and put him in the stocks and chuck rotten fruit at him for hours and then to teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely certain what the reoffender rate...
A public shaming. That's
right. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, cooler heads, I think, have to prevail in situations like that. And that's why we have a judicial system based on justice rather than on retribution and revenge.
Well, yes, but now we have social media, don't we? Which is the modern day stocks, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's where we all throw virtual cabbages at
I think it'd be quite dangerous that, though.
You know,
someone can be misnamed or taken out of context. I mean, clearly this guy wasn't
happening.
But you've said, well,
his family's gone into protective care now because
is just ridiculous
because of death threats that he's getting. Hmm. The whole situation has been conflated as well because people in the media, including people on other podcasts, retweeting trolls.
Hmm.
and saying, Twitter, why hasn't this been taken down? Well, it doesn't help when you're retweeting it to all your followers.
Why are you tweeting it?
Why are you retweeting a troll mocking Jack Grealish's brother's gravestone?
Yes.
And I saw that. And a lot of people were putting, had obviously scoured the social media or social media in general, got his address and put his photograph up. And I just thought, well, I really hope you've got that dead right.
Yeah.
Because if that's not him or that's not his address, you know, you could be inciting something that's far worse than what he said.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this before, haven't we? The John Ronson's book, You've Been Publicly Shamed. So while I think it's important that people are held to account for what they do, I think it's not within the right of the Twitter community to be judge and jury and executioner on this. And you see that. And it is horrible. It's the mob. Isn't it? It's the power of the mob.
It's a hue and cry, isn't it? It's an old-fashioned hue and cry.
It is horrible. And it's horrible. And you see the nastiness and the outrage and the mock outrage that people feel over something that hasn't really touched them. And as well as that, you know, about his brother, which was horrible to see, but you kind of go, well, yeah, I'm not going to give that any oxygen by going, you know, you're an idiot or even just retweeting it. I mean, why would you do that?
Yeah, it's all an ugly incident. But, of course, it's what we were talking about when we discussed the couple of Libertadores final just a few weeks ago, and in many ways as well when we discussed Raheem Sterling on the podcast, didn't we? We've had a couple of podcasts like this within a few months that have seen passions from fans overboiling on the ugly side of them coming out, and really people saying, well, what the hell can we do? Whose fault is it? And looking to point fingers, because that's how we understand the world around us, isn't it, really? We've got to think, oh, it's his fault. It must be. Can't ever be my fault. They pay pundits on Sky Sports to say things after events, and of course they're saying things, and they will say whatever's in their mind at that moment because they've got a microphone in front of them, they've got directors in their ears saying, say something, give us something to go with. And they'll say things like fences. And all of a sudden it's around everywhere. So like Gary Neville says, bring back fences. I don't think he was. I think he was throwing it out there as an idea. Yeah. It was like just saying, well, you know, these are conversations that we need to have. And like we're having one right now about it. Yeah, does it help?
No. Well, yes and no. I mean, and I think it all just depends upon how the conversation is staged and the tone of voice used in the conversation as well. And the thing about these kind of things is they're not conversations. They're just more like, really, really shrill kind of, you know,
ambulance chasing.
Yeah. And they're not really looking to start a conversation. They're not like, you know, saying, well, have your say, join the debate. They're looking at it in order to basically create content so that they can make money. And it's not really in the best traditions of proper debate and conversation. It's not measured and it's not given much thought. And Gary Neville, you know, when we talk about stuff like this, we're not talking about football. We're talking about societal issues or issues involving, you know, the criminal activity of one individual. We're not talking about football. And Gary Neville is quite good at talking about football, but I think he's less good about talking about politics.
Yeah.
And this is what this is. This is politics. So really his opinion is absolutely no more valid than yours or mine or anybody listening to this for that matter. You know, our opinion is just as valid as his because, you know, he has as much experience in that realm as we do, so...
Yeah, and as well as that, he's an ex-professional footballer. So he's seen somebody who does the job he used to do. And if you're feeling, you know, if he's putting himself back doing the job he used to do and thinking, well, I'd feel pretty vulnerable in that situation. What am I naturally going to want? I'm going to want a barrier between me and those individuals. You're not going to get a very nuanced opinion from somebody who's, you know, it's going to be fairly, biased, and that's understandable considering where he's coming from. And you're right, you shouldn't necessarily be asking football pundits to comment on society's ills. You're not going to necessarily get a well thought out response because that's not what they're there to do.
No. I mean, the one person who actually, for the first time in my life, and I never thought I'd find myself saying this, one person who I would like to find out whose opinion is Robbie Savage. Because he was caught in an incident, wasn't he?
That was a glorious moment.
Unfortunately, he was facing his assailant when that happened.
So good.
Because this angry fan ran onto the pitch
right.
and ran up to him. And Robbie Savage, I admit Robbie, he's a big fella.
He's a big right. fella.
He is a big fella when you meet him in the flesh. And I've met him a couple of times. And this fella obviously ran on this. And it did take him quite a few paces to get up to him.
Did he have to stop for an inhaler?
Well, the thing was, I think he ran out of steam halfway through. Because I think like Robbie was just standing there with his hand on his...
He's looking down at him. Yeah. And this bloke's like... And then he makes this kind of really... sort of like odd gesture, waving his fists around like he's faux boxing him, and he looks like he thinks I need to turn this into a joke really quickly and then hope the stewards come and rescue me before this guy beats the shit out of me, which he's quite capable of doing. Meanwhile, Robbie's just standing there looking down at him and going like, what are you doing? And fortunately, he was rescued by the stewards, yes, and, yes, and yeah. spared his blushes. Yes.
He was carried away in a cloud of high vis.
it was so funny. That fixture has got a form, hasn't it?
Yes,
because there was the Enkelman thing as well, yeah. wasn't there? Where but poor Peter Enkelman, who made that terrible error, was then mocked, wasn't he, by a. Was it by a home fan or away? I can't remember now. Yeah. But anyway, the Birmingham derby is particularly febrile,
yeah.
and there is a bit of that going on. So maybe we could consider that there's some historical precedence for this kind of intervention.
Mm.
Maybe that's what makes it even puts more of the blame on Birmingham City for perhaps not being a little bit wiser to something like this. Would happen, but you know, in fairness, this guy he did raise the stakes quite a lot. I mean, he brought it up a level. I mean, we can have a bit of a laugh about the other things because
yeah.
you know, no harm was done. But I mean, Jack Grealish was punched, he was assaulted,
yeah,
in his workplace, and that is not acceptable.
No,
it does make you feel that there is such a thing as karma, though, doesn't it, really, with the fact that he scores the winning goal,
yeah.
I'd love to have been a fly in the wall when the Villa copper walks in and went, Jack Grealish has just scored.
Yeah.
Here's your porridge. Quite literally.
Yes. Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've ruined your life for nothing, mate.
Yeah, there you go. But that's the key thing, though. I mean, like, all right, no, he wasn't carrying a knife. Let's stop that now, okay? He could have been carrying a knife, yes, but he wasn't. Let's not give anyone ideas, okay? It's still only tennis, I think, that's happening so far. So
yes.
Let's just be calm and say, well, okay, but the best thing about it was Jack Grealish got back on his feet, and a lot of players, they would have thought, it could have just thrown them off completely for the rest of the game. They would have been hoiked off at half-time. Someone else would have been put on. He would not have been there to score the goal. And then that assailant would have won.
Mm-hmm.
He would have got what he wanted.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that's... The fact that Jack is safe, that's fine, and unharmed. But also, as well, he was unharmed in his frame of mind as well.
Yeah,
you could see that straight away, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a shot of this guy being dragged away, in a cloud of high vis, and a lot of the players, obviously, were trying to intervene as well. And Jack Grealish is just looking straight, you know, it looks like he's staring straight down the camera just with a big smile on his face.
Whether that's a kind of
nervous smile or not, I don't know. But he got up and looked completely unfazed.
Yeah.
And if I'd just been punched, I mean, I'd be talking about it for forever. It would really affect me. But clearly the strength of mind that he has is greater than mine.
And
good for him because he stayed on the pitch and did what he's meant to do.
Yeah, I think professional footballers do get a bit of bad press because, yes, a lot of them do go down rather easily.
Mm.
But, you know, have you seen the size of some of the defenders that are out there nowadays? Mm. So, like, they will hit you hard. I'm sure Jack Grealish has been hit harder even when he's been able to see them coming. But
he may have been involved in some training ground dust-ups as well, which can happen. So it might well be when you play a very physical game like that and a very emotional game like that, then it's possible that you're no stranger to physical confrontation.
Yeah.
And you may well evaporate within seconds of it happening, but it might be that psychologically you're better prepared to deal with that. I mean, I would have been a complete mess and would have demanded 17 weeks of counselling afterwards.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not a professional footballer. But I mean, yes, that smile on his face was quite amusing. It's important, I think, not to read in too much of these things because when someone has been hit, like been assaulted,
you shouldn't
make any judgments whatsoever about their reaction. So everybody reacts in these ways. But he got up, dusted himself down, and then went and scored the winning goal. So it was a real proper, in many ways, it's a very, very, it's a heartwarming story.
It is.
It's a heartwarming story.
Yeah, they'll make a film out of it, you know.
Basically. They will.
Yeah. You'll have a book out before Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's a significant, I mean, like, you know, his after dinner circuit stakes have just gone up quite considerably.
Well, I mean,
he deserves it because he got punched by some bloke. So he deserves it.
Also, he deserves it because he's actually in really good form at the moment.
Yeah.
There is lots of talk about him being picked up by a top half Premier League club. You know, yeah. Lots of numbers flying around about him. He won't have done himself any harm.
Because you're looking at strength of character, you're looking at being able to cope with pressure. Yeah. That boy clearly can do that. Because there were question marks to move to happier matters. I mean, there were question marks about his mentality, his character, weren't there?
Yeah.
Earlier in his career, not long ago.
Yeah.
You'd have to say that, you know, after that, if you were a Premier League club looking to spend that kind of money, then you should do so with a great deal of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we've reached almost a consensus, though, that let's not lose our heads. This was an incident that was dealt with and everything has been sorted out fine. We don't have to call for tougher measures. Yes, tweak up security in there. But lessons, more training for stewards as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But nothing drastic.
No.
Yeah, let's not start building stab vests into football jerseys and stuff like that. And, you know, let's not have armed police. That's all of that stuff is foolishness. But let's just spend a bit more time and money on your internal security.
And also, let's just be cool about the game itself, because it is a game. That guy on the pitch is not the reason you got laid off or that your wife left you.
I mean, and if you don't think that you've got the emotional maturity to handle going to the disappointment or to handle going to football matches, then stop going to football matches, unfortunately. Until you do get the emotional maturity to handle these things.
Then go on as often as you want, then.
And then you can go as often as you like,
FA Cup this weekend.
It is.
Speaking of emotional Palace emotion. Are still there. It's March and you're still in the FA Cup.
They're still there, and also they'll be hell to pay if we lose this game because of the spineless performance against Brighton on Saturday.
Yes.
So there'll be a lot of pressure on the players and on the coach.
Not easy away to Watford.
And Watford is a very, very tough side.
Yeah.
And there's beef between those two sets of players.
Beef.
There's beef.
Beef.
There's massive beef.
Eagles, now, Hornets, beef.
If ever there was a need to say that cool heads have to prevail, it's this game. Because there's beef between the two sets of players. Troy Deeney publicly stating that Will Zaha was being targeted and tactically fouled in the last game. And Zaha got sent off. And there was... So there's proper beef. And obviously there's a lot at stake.
Yeah, and if you can't handle all that, then just switch over and watch Leeds Sheffield United, because that'll be much more cuddly, that one.
Absolutely. Nothing going wrong with there.
Proper display of friendship and camaraderie.
I've got to be honest. Obviously, as a Palace fan, of course I'm going to be watching the Watford Palace game, but that leads to Sheffield United again. That's going to be a game of football, that is.
You'll have to get hold of the weekend box set to see which one we actually pick to go in. But there's plenty of other great games. And, of course, all the other quarterfinals from the FA Cup. Wembley, one step away for these clubs.
Indeed, yeah.
But, of course...
Well, I mean, you know...
Wembley is...
No one cares about the FA Cup anymore, really, do they? I mean, people have been saying that for ages. It's in decline. And do you know why?
Why is that?
Checkatrade trophy.
Yeah, of
that's
course.
All, that's trade. All. It's all the kids are talking about.
Yeah.
Certainly in Wearside. and Portsmouth. All the kids are really down with the checkatrade. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just hanging out with some of my son's mates, and they were just... all they were talking about was the checkatrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids love it. Yeah. So Sunderland are there.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, Sunderland are in the coolest cup final in Christendom.
Yeah.
So hopefully I get to go
there. This isn't the same Checker Trade trophy that we've been decrying because it's got a load of B teams in it, is it?
No, it's not. That must be a different Checker Trade because this is the coolest trophy. It's definitely... Definitely not a Mickey Mouse Cup.
No, not
definitely
at all.
Not.
Of course not. And
major honour.
Major honour. Are you going?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're...
I'm not being funny, but surely. I mean, I know there are a lot of Sunderland fans, but there's... that stadium fits 90,000 people.
No, they've only got 39,000 allocated.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And they're not opening out the full tier, are they?
Doesn't look like it.
Oh. What?
I think Portsmouth got slightly more, but when I say slightly more, I think it's like
not
1,000.
All that Tottenham crap in there, is it? They should leave all their stuff just lying around.
Yeah, there will be, yeah.
Oh, God.
there'll be
just move out. Go on, get a place of your own.
Yeah, so mooches. There's a Tottenham mooch sperm. I like it.
Mooch sperm. Talk about outstaying your welcome, mate.
Come on, I only said a few days, mate.
Oh man, sorry,
man. Sorry, man. I'm like, just let me get my shit together and I'll leave. No, really, just a few more days.
Oh, Spurs, mate, come on. It's like, you know, I come back and you're still here. All your stuff's around.
My girlfriend's here. Look, you said you'd be gone by now.
I need my spare room back, mate. Come on. Doing
all those years ago. So if you ever find yourself in northwest London, make sure to look me up. My home is your home.
Mikasa, dude, no worries. I didn't think he was going to take me up on it.
I didn't realize he was going to be here for two bloody years. Come on.
It's me or the Spurs. I'm not coming setting foot back in this flat until he's gone.
Yeah, that's how we think of you, Spurs. That's what we think. That's how we imagine you every time we see you.
Will you please, Spurs, just stop leaving your toenail clippings around? It's really disgusting.
And I don't want to have to put labels on my food. I don't want to be that in my house.
My cocoa pops, so fuck off.
FA's cocoa pops.
So there you go then.
There you go.
It's all out now. It's all come out now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all come out now. And that's definitely all we've got time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton and from Terry DeVerman, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter at Sound of Football, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Cup action.
I want some
cup action.
It's just a distraction. Boom, 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 boom